Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Week 16. Bears, you're the researcher, is it?
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
The never-ending season. I'll tell you who really wants the season to end. That committee that gets together down in Texas. Woo, do they have people going last night.
Yeah.
I mean, let's start outside the top 10, okay? And we'll move down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Are they properly rated? Ranked, I should say.
They shouldn't be ranked any higher, I'll put it to you that way.
Okay. Because of that metric that measures game control?
Because of my own two eyes, because of the offensive and defensive efficiency metrics, because of knowing the teams that they played haven't been very good, everything. I think people like the knee-jerk reality, they're 5-0 when Ohio State's 5-0, and why is USC so far behind? Like there's nothing comparable there. You can't tell me USC is like close to a top 10 team in performance wise. There's no way.
Okay. What about the idea of winning games?
Good. That's the goal. The goal is to win games.
Ohio State, back with Mr. Claret. Can we go back and check their game control statistics? There were some ugly wins on that schedule.
They had an elite defense and a ton of NFL players on that team, and they had good wins during the year for good teams.
Okay. All right.
USC has a minimum in ranked.
They haven't lost, though. Okay.
No, they have. That's correct. They have not lost.
So instead of worrying about who we beat, why can't we look at who we lost to as a barometer?
I think you do when you're looking at teams that are comparable in terms of performance. I think that's fair.
Okay.
You can't tell me you think this team is a top 10 team.
I think they should be in the top 10. I will say that. They haven't lost. They have elite talent at wide receiver position. Okay, let's move up. That's USC. Should Coastal be ranked behind Indiana?
Coastal shouldn't be ranked behind Cincinnati.
Okay, there we go. All right. What else do they have to do? Is it just because they are in that conference, which the committee just doesn't seem even how do I say this? They shouldn't even be respect in the same – yeah, like they shouldn't be in the same paragraph – as SEC?
You don't even need to go like compare SEC. I'd take Coastal, Appalachian State, and Louisiana, the top three teams in the Sun Belt, ahead of the top three teams from the American. I think if you look at the resume that Coastal has put together, the two wins over BYU and Louisiana, I think are better than anything that Cincinnati's done. And then you factor in a win over Appalachian State. I know Kansas is terrible. It's still a Power 5 win that you got to give them a little bit. Okay, they played a Power 5 team, went on the road and beat the crap out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And, like, if you look at the efficiency metrics, like, Coastal's offense is better than Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense is better. Coastal has a slightly better strength of schedule. It's essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get why it's this, like, foregone conclusion that Cincinnati should automatically be ranked higher than Coastal.
Should Coastal be ranked higher than the eighth team from Athens?
No, because Georgia's better. I think there's a clear difference there. I think Georgia is clearly a better team.
Who'd Georgia beat?
I think Coastal would struggle mightily offensively against Georgia.
Okay. Who'd Georgia beat?
The best win's probably what? Auburn? It's probably their best win, I would say. They lost Alabama and they lost to Florida. That's That's what their schedule had been going into the year. Everybody kind of knew that their season was going to be dictated on how they did against Alabama and Florida.
But that's what I don't get. Like they have two losses. I understand mm-hmm. they had to play those two teams, but then when it goes to Coastal and Georgia, the conversation goes to, well, I just think Georgia would beat them.
If Coastal had to play Alabama and Florida, would Coastal have two losses?
I think they could beat Florida.
I don't think they'd stop Florida, but
why not?
I don't. They would.
Boise State beat Oklahoma in a Fiesta Bowl. Nobody thought would happen.
No, LSU. I had Boise last week. I had Boise that day.
Of course you did. Oklahoma didn't have their quarterback that day. No one seems to remember that one. We're going to keep moving up here. Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's really shown how in the moment you have to be. I mean, the poor team hasn't played since, what is it, November 21st?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to play a month. And if there's never more of a recency bias thing there with the committee, I don't know what is. Because when I move up and then I see this 10th-ranked Oklahoma team, two losses, and this 6th-ranked Iowa State team, two losses. I mean, with your numbers, like what were you saying since Halloween?
Look, I get it. I'll give you my Iowa State thesis here, which I've pretty much perfected over the last.
It was pretty impressive how you rattled it off last night.
I will 16 hours or so is. Look, I get they lost by 17 to Louisiana. Yes, I get it. The final margin was 17. If you look at the game, and again, I'm not denying that it didn't happen. It happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a touchdown with 10 seconds left, which pushed the margin from 10 to 17. There were three
still counted on the scoreboard.
Yes, it does. There were three non-offensive touchdowns in the game, and special teams count. It was a special teams meltdown. It's part of the game. It happened. Iowa State didn't have Charlie Kohler. They allowed 270 yards in the game. So it wasn't like this, like, oh my God, Louisiana went in there and just absolutely dominated. It was a couple of plays. And again, most football games are. But yes, it happened, but it's not like you didn't walk out of that game, oh my God, Louisiana is so much better than Iowa State. No, that's not the case. They lost to Oklahoma State in a coin flip type game. Sure, that happened. But I think what Gary Barter was pointing at yesterday with the committee, I think the purpose of – remember all the cries about how, oh, well, Florida State – in the year, like when Florida State would lose early and then they'd get hot and be – oh, by the end of the year, they're one of the best four teams in the country. They should be in. Like, I think that's kind of like what the people thought the committee – could add a little bit of perspective as to how teams are playing. If you look at since Halloween, the only teams with a better scoring margin than Iowa State are Alabama and Oklahoma. If you go since Halloween, Iowa State, in terms of total efficiency, has a better total efficiency number than Notre Dame does. And it's like decimal points behind Clemson. I think people have this perception of like Iowa State is this like garbage bad team because they have true losses. It's not the case at all. They're a good team that lost early and has been dealing with COVID stuff like teams that have all year long and they've gotten better and they're being rewarded for who, yes, they have the two losses, but they've been rewarded for who they've played and who they've beat. I'm just going down my little cheat sheet right now. Like the only, in terms of like the Football Power Index power ratings, which the committee doesn't use, but it kind of represents like solid opponents and solid wins and like what the committee would deem. Like there are only three teams in there that have four wins versus top 40 FBI teams. And that's Alabama, Notre Dame, and Iowa State. Six of their 10 games have come against top 40 teams. So and that's more like a higher percentage than like anybody down. Like it's Alabama's got four games against top 40 teams. Notre Dame's got four. Clemson's got four. Ohio State has two because they've only played five teams. A&M's got four. Florida's got three. Georgia's got three. Cincinnati's got one. Like, that's why they are where they are, because the committee is giving them a bump for the quality wins that they have and their overall schedule. Do I think that they're going to get in? No, but this is the scenario that I brought up yesterday. Like mm-hmm. if Notre Dame happens to upset Clemson one more time, you're dealt with now a two-loss Clemson who's not a conference champion, who I think everybody would still think and agree that is one of the best four teams in the country. You're stuck with a one-loss A&M, who that win against Florida certainly doesn't look as good now. Mm-hmm. They got annihilated by Alabama. And are you going to elevate them to number four? And do we really need to see another Alabama A&M game? Now, the committee certainly wouldn't like say, okay, we can't have a rematch, and that's why A&M's not in. But you would think subliminally that would come into play in the room. You've got Florida out because they'd have three losses, a two-loss non-champion in Georgia.
Sure, Florida dropped one spot with the worst.
I'm saying is if Alabama beats Florida, so they have three. And then you've got Cincinnati, who's already behind Iowa State. So, like, you're looking at, like, could a two-loss Big 12 champion be in there? And I think if it's Iowa State with the second win over Oklahoma, like, does anybody think Iowa State is better than Clemson? No. But that committee logic of, like, conference championships matter, like, it would probably be, I think Clemson should be the team in. They probably would be the team in. But as crazy as it sounds, like, these are the conversations. Like, these are the teams that we're talking about being in. Like, a bunch of two-loss teams. It's a weird year, and it's just where we are.
Iowa State. The problem is, and I get your numbers from Halloween. I understand it. But that's what it feels like with the committee, is that they only counted from Halloween on, like when they started meeting as a group. The season started in September.
But at the same time, that game against Oklahoma came well before that, though. So they are getting a bump in being ranked ahead of Oklahoma because they did beat them.
They should be ahead of Oklahoma, but they lost two games. A&M, you know what I'm not doing? I'm not holding the close win against Vanderbilt against them. You know why? Because they still won the game. And that's all the people against A&M are saying, close win against Vanderbilt. But they won the game. They have one loss. Iowa State has two. Everyone just talks, like, blows the coin toss. You said coin toss game against Oklahoma State. They lost. Mm-hmm. You have to get penalized for losing games. And then that's why I bring up USC. This team hasn't had a chance to play all their games because the conference doesn't know what they're doing, and they still have won all their games. How high should they be? I don't know, but they should be in the top 10. Indiana, who'd they beat? They have one loss. Sorry, you played Ohio State. You didn't beat them. You got to get penalized. Oklahoma, are you kidding me? With those losses? Come on.
Indiana is a good defense. Indiana's defensive numbers are excellent.
Who have they beaten?
Okay. So who is
anybody? Big Ten East stinks.
Let's run down and play the game. Who has anybody beaten?
Alabama, exactly. Alabama. That's what I'm saying. So it's got to go to losses.
Who is anybody?
It's got to go to – at some point, you have to get penalized for losses. That's my point.
Okay. There we go. So let's not play any – nobody play nobody. Just win all your games. Go the Baylor 2014 style, and away we go.
Where guys are trying to find a game week to week, you got to give them credit for winning games against teams that lose games. You have to. We got to do it. We have to do it. Okay, moving on. Notre Dame. Are you ready for the Notre Dame haters to say they shouldn't be in the playoff if they lose to Clemson?
Oh, I'm totally.
You ready. Know that's coming.
Oh, you know it's coming, and it's totally not true, and it's not going to happen. Unless it's like 63-0. I mean.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just ready. Are you ready for that onslaught?
It will totally be and I don't know who that people would say that should go in ahead of them. You have the highest quality win of the year. You beat Clemson. Yes, Trevor Lawrence didn't play, but here you go. You got it. They won the game. You got to give them credit for winning, right?
Yes, you do. And here's another thing. Go ahead.
No. Go. You're good.
Okay. Are you ready for the possibility of Notre Dame jumping to one if they win more impressively than Alabama?
That was something that popped into my mind if they get in a situation where it's apparent that apparent that A&M is on the board to get put in, like if something happens. Mm-hmm. That's the, like, if Notre Dame were to win, that would drop Clemson to two losses. And that, yeah, in order to manipulate it to not get the rematch, yes. But, like, I mean, how could you do that? I mean, we saw that 8 years ago in 2012 when Alabama was number two and Notre Dame was number one and Alabama was a double-digit favorite and the game was over 3 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody can honestly think that Notre Dame is a better team than Alabama. But with some of the decisions and the opinions of the decisions that this committee has made, would anybody be surprised by that? No.
Okay. There's two scenarios I feel like that haven't been mentioned, and this is the whole crux of my thing with the rankings and the issue is they're set up for chalk, and if we get chalk, we're gonna have monster matchups mm-hmm. in the semifinals. But they gave themselves no outs. They don't have any outs, and that's why I don't get it. Like, I understand, what was it, the first year when TCU got jumped by Ohio State and that stuff. But you just start looking at it and just I can't believe they would do this. Reese's question, going back to Iowa State with Louisiana, I thought was not answered again. But I just – and I don't know. And then on top of it all, I have to see a two-loss Georgia team move ahead of undefeated Cincinnati. On top of it all, that's what I had to see. So, yes.
Maybe we'll see that bowl game.
Oh, we're going to definitely see that one. I knew that was coming.
You talked about the chalk, and typically since you mentioned 2014 with the mm-hmm. the Ohio State upset over Wisconsin and terrible number in that game. Like, since then, the 25 Power 5 conference title games, 23 of them have been won by the favorite. Two underdogs have won outright. Oregon last year and Penn State over Wisconsin in 2016. So what happened to the good old days of the BCS era where it was craziness on conference championship Saturday? We have not had that the last 5 years.
And I want to say, if I get this right, how do I say the only team – to lose a conference championship game and play in the title game was that Oklahoma team in 2003, right?
They got drilled by Darren Sproles.
Darren Sproles.
And we're still watching the BCS title game. Yep.
Okay. Where were you that day?
Home. We did not travel that day anywhere. Wow.
Remember those days?
Yeah. We did not travel anywhere on conference championship day that year. And I remember we did the show, and then I remember watching the conference title games from home that night.
Mm. Nice and comfy.
Very comfy. And nice. I remember getting texts from Herb Vincent, who was with LSU at the time, now at the SEC Network.
Mm.
Just me and Brad and I had all the numbers figured out and who was going to get in, and he was texting left and right. Are we going to get in? We're going to get in. And I'm like, yeah, it's just going to depend on this. And I was like, yeah, you're going to get in. And he was just funny to be sitting there at home watching the SEC game and then watching that Big 12 game that night.
I knew that. I knew you would remember. All right. So you mentioned the last year was one of the times when the underdog won a conference title game. And Friday, we have some really interesting matchups as we move forward. And I'm sorry to yelling about the rankings, but I had to get
that out of my chest. I think people like yelling about rankings.
Makes me mad. Can't believe Florida's at 7. Unbelievable.
Florida's always going to be there because they're not going to fall behind Georgia. That's the thing. They're going to value that win. Against Georgia.
How about Georgia is lower? And that's my whole point of this all. When we lose games, drop them more. That's my issue. All right, Friday, awesome matchups. UAB +5.5 at Marshall for the Conference USA title game. Ball State +13.5 against Buffalo at Ford Field. They're still playing that at Ford Field. I thought we were going to get some weather involved, maybe a home site change in the MAC, but they are staying suit to Ford Field. Nebraska, enormous game, -6.5 at Sunge, Piscataway. Be ready. Easy on the tailgate in there. And where the underdog lost, or I should say won, Oregon, +3.5 against USC in the Pac-12 Conference of Champions title game. You know what happened in this game last year. We were on it. We had Oregon against Utah, knowing what happens to the team that gets front and center in this conference year after year. They take a poop. And I'll start there. You got to take
Oregon. You're going to take a poop? You're going to get Lamar Jackson on us here?
Cramps.
Yeah, they're cramps, all right.
Yeah, you ever seen a guy run with cramps? I haven't.
Abdominal cramps.
Let's go there. I'm principal. I said it last year, and I asked the guys for Daily Wager that we're going to be doing this week to get odds, because I remember calling some people out in the desert in a certain casino that just built a big casino, or I should say a certain sports book that's built a big casino, put odds out, and it was this week, and it was to make the playoff. Yep. And I remember looking at Utah, and they started getting lower, and I think it was in the 200 range somewhere there, and I'm like, they're not making it. They're not making it because they're going to lose, because every time somebody steps up on the pedestal in this conference, they poop.
Poop town.
I'm going to buy. It's at 3. I want to buy it at 3.5. We'll pay that. But I'm going to go Oregon +3.5 when I look at the Friday slate to start. You got yourself pass. With some action, huh?
I'm going to pass on that Pac-12 game just because.
Okay.
I
think USC's might
I got,
be.
I got well. I have the USC to win the Pac-12 future. Okay. So it's like, well,
you
I'm
think
already,
like USC might be peaking at the right time? Is that what you're
peaking.
Saying?
Peaking. Yeah, that was just that was. I'm still frustrated about last week.
You should be.
You're the right side for 59. You're the right side, never not the right side until you were.
Who was the right side more, UCLA last week or that under you gave me in the soccer game?
Definitely the under in the soccer. Because in like the actual like scheduled time, it was under.
Yeah, because. Yeah. And I said it there. I'm doing the math in my head. I said, my man was watching this game for 83 minutes, had the under, and there wasn't one goal.
Correct. And then the terrible – it was just brutal, a terrible penalty. And then, oh, by the way, let's just – I know we're only supposed to have 5 minutes of injury time. Let's just add more. Let him play a little bit longer.
It's like the guy going down the court in basketball and the clock hits zeros, buzzer goes. No, give him the dunk. Go ahead, go dunk it.
Just give it to. But it's funny, like that's like betting innovations. I want to have a betting innovation for soccer where you can like pay like extra juice or whatever to not have added time or stoppage time count towards any of your totals, because if you had a dollar for like every time you had like under 2.5 and there was like a 94th minute penalty kick by Ronaldo to put a match over, it's such a scam. And then don't even get me started about the USC UCLA game last week, because I was on the other airline and the other airline did not have any TVs, even in the appropriate portion of the plane that I happened to be in.
But your cats had to be happy when you walked in the door.
And they had, you can find on your live TV on your laptop. Okay, good. But it's like TV shows. Like I want to watch like reruns of The Office. No, I want to watch USC, UCLA right now. I don't want to watch that. So like I'm like now.
Did you start sweating?
No.
You get a little flustered?
I
no.
I was flustered. I was mad.
Okay.
But I was like, all right. Like now I actually have to spend money on the internet to be able to have access to, so I can at least like text with these, because you don't get the free text messaging either like you do on my preferred airline. So now I have to like pay for that. And now I'm just refreshing play by play. And then I see the field goal. Great. Yes. And like, just, okay, just don't allow a touchdown. And then I see long kick returned, and I'm like, oh, no, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see one play, and like, like ESPN.com, like the play-by-play and the score feed is behind.
Mm-hmm.
So like immediately, Like, I'm in a group text with a bunch of people.
I was going to say, and the group texts always kill when you're trying to follow stuff. And it's unbelievable.
And I see someone text something, and I'm just like, please tell me Clay did the right thing and just took a knee and kicked the field goal. And then, like, at the same time, I get, like, four people, oh, you're way behind. And I'm like, Mom, you're way behind. I'm like, oh, great. I know. So I'm, like, thinking, I'm like, okay, does that mean maybe they turned it over? And then I see the ESPN.com update to the touchdown, and that's when hopefully the woman next to me had a – That's the other thing, too, about the other airline, too. They actually put someone in the seat next to you.
Yeah.
Whereas my preferred airline does not. So,
But
as you said, Kat was laying on the couch when I got home.
And there you go. That's what it's all about.
They're very happy to see me. Was that good? Good night.
As a friend of ours would say, some things.
Yes.
Maction, Friday night.
It was between USC and the Young Boys. It was a tough week.
Come on, we're moving ahead. I'm trying to get you ahead. We got Friday. We got Underdog in Maction.
People are more like anticipating hearing these stories than they are anything. And then your alma mater never covering the number. And then at least I managed to push out of that game. But
yeah. You don't have to relive these things, bud. You just move on. That's why we do the pod on Wednesday. Move on next week.
It's therapeutic, though.
Okay.
All
right.
It's good to let it all out with you because you have a way of just kind of like saying the right thing in order to get an even stronger reaction. And
did you keep it going. Did you stay up for the ending in Corvallis?
No.
No, I did.
I did not. That being said, I was. I don't want to sound like I'm like bad mouthing the other airline at all. The good thing about the other airline is you do actually have a beverage choice. Like, it's not like my preferred airline. They just give you like the bag with the water.
Yeah.
You get the bag with the water and the snack there too. But they also give you like, would you like something else to drink? Like Coke or whatever. And so that was,
I know what I would have been asking for if
I had UCLA.
Yeah, exactly. How about four of those?
Yes,
Maction Friday night. I like
Boston. I'll tell you what, looking back at this game's been nuts the last 2 years.
It has. Speaking of bad beats, a couple of years ago, conference title. That was wonderful. That was fun. I like Boston. I like Ball State here. Like, I think Buffalo obviously is a really good team, but I think the Ball State rush defense, this is one of the better, if not the best defense that Buffalo will have played this year. I mean, they put up some massive numbers against the really bad side of the league. The benefit of playing both BG and Akron. Ball State could very easily be undefeated, too. They had that first game of the year, which could have gone either way, lost in overtime. I think the Cardinals are an experienced team, and I think they find a way here to hang around, slow the Buffalo offense down just enough to be in the game in the fourth quarter.
This was interesting. Just looking at the rushing numbers, we know Ball State's guy opted out, but they 67.5 for two teams that I think are going to want to run the ball is a really, really interesting number. We know Buffalo's big play capability in the run game, so that's a really interesting game to me. I can't wait to watch that. And UAB Marshall, I think, is really interesting too, just because the difference in games against Rice. Marshall gives the game. No, I mean, Rice went and turned them over five times, but then UAB doesn't turn it over and they beat Rice. Like, that's the common denominator, because that's the last time we saw these teams out. So that's interesting. Interested to see what the weather will be in West Virginia for that one. Nebraska, we mentioned it. -6.5.
How?
I don't understand it. This was supposed to be, what was it, 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, 4, I wanted to see, who was the game I wanted to see? I was hoping maybe we could see, Indiana and Iowa. I was hoping we could get Indiana and Iowa. But, I mean, I don't want to say there's a lot of pressure on a game that doesn't mean anything, but I think there's a lot of pressure on Nebraska, because if they lose this, I understand. I'm a guy. You got to give the guy time, and I understand he still is going through some things and needs more time. But the people that are against Frost here, if he loses this game, they're going to be out of control. Out of control. Give me Rutgers plus 6.5.
Yeah, like, don't you have to side with the team that showed up every week and Schiano in his first year and an opportunity to win four games? And defensively, they played well, and Nebraska's had been prone to turning the ball over and struggling down in the red zone. And keep in mind, too, like this game being played Friday, there's supposed to be some really bad weather in the Northeast on Thursday.
Like I'm already getting it.
Like Nebraska's travel situation could be a little messy and screwed up this week, creating just, like, I don't know. Like I wouldn't be looking to lay 6.5, 7 points with Nebraska. That's for sure. I'm with you. I like the State University of New Jersey here.
Yeah, the line doesn't make any sense. Thoughts there. All right, that will do it for Friday. Saturday, I absolutely love.
No play on UAB Marshall for either. I don't think, right?
No, I want to watch that game. I honestly don't. If I had a lean,
I would take Marshall because they cannot be as bad as they did as they were against Rice. And I think their defense is better. UAB consistently on offense is it worries me, even though they are getting 5.5. But that's a really interesting game because Marshall lost a great season and a loss to Rice, and I think they would ramp it up and get this one. I really like that they're at home too. But I'm going to lay off of it. I love how the games are scheduled on Saturday. A&M is playing at Knoxville, right? Minus 14. I thought for sure. You would be on the Vols.
No, you're paying. Well, it would be Vols or pass for me. I mean, you're paying a tax for the mentality of A&M looking to put up style points if they're in a conversation.
I was going
to
say, do you think that line goes up by kickoff?
Probably yes. Yeah, I would think so.
Why is Oklahoma favored?
Because it's Oklahoma.
Give me Iowa State.
Like I'm not convinced Iowa State isn't the right side. I mean, I'm not gonna.
I don't think Iowa State played well when they beat Oklahoma.
No, they didn't. And as you said,
since Halloween, they're killing it.
They are, both teams are playing better, and I think the handicap of this game comes down to whether you believe Oklahoma's defense is truly improved. They've gotten some players back, but at the same time, and the numbers over the last month or what it is have been great. But at the same time, you have played Oklahoma State without Spencer Sanders, a quarterback, and that was a complete debacle. Mm-hmm. You have played Baylor, who is bad on offense, mm-hmm. and you have played Kansas, who is probably the worst Power 5 team out there. So, like, are your defensive numbers simply a byproduct of playing the three teams you would want to play in order to boost your defensive numbers, or are they good because they've gotten better? Like that determines in my mind what way you're going to land, because I think the Iowa State offense is much more complicated than any of those other three teams. So we'll see. Like I'm not sold Iowa State isn't the right side either. We've gone into the history here with Iowa State covering every year mm-hmm. against Oklahoma under Campbell. Very easily could have won the game last year in Norman as a big underdog, had two wins over them already. I thought we'd hear a little bit more this week about Oklahoma. No way Iowa State can beat them twice. Oklahoma much improved. I haven't heard. I thought this number might drift up towards 6, 6.5. Maybe it will. By the time the weekend rolls around, so right now it's no play for me. But I think by the time the weekend rolls around, if that number does hit six, I'll be on the Cyclones as well.
You touched on Iowa State; they're playing really well. And I said what I said about the rankings. It's just mm-hmm. what I believe is right. But everybody talking about Oklahoma's got it together and this and that. I don't know why. But I got caught watching them against Baylor like 2 weeks ago, and it was horrible. The game was atrocious. I had a multiple TV set up, so I had it on one of those. And I don't know why.
Your setup. It's a good looking setup.
I just locked it. I don't know why. But Baylor's terrible. And Oklahoma scored 27 against them. They only rushed for 76 yards. Rattler threw for 193. Like, I don't know why. Like, it could be mean nothing to me. But this whole, like, and this is what I like, this narrative starts about, oh, Oklahoma hasn't lost a game in a while and this and that. And I'm like, I watched them. I don't know if they have it figured out. They obviously lost a ton of talent. And the defense, like, you talked about the defense. Like, are they that better? And you talk about who's playing better right now. Iowa State is way more legit right now. So I'm taking the points here with Iowa State. And I can't believe Herbie asked you if Oklahoma can make the playoff if they win. But maybe you guys know more something. That was an inside the Beltway conversation he wanted to get out to the people. All right, here you go. Would you rather take Northwestern plus 20.5 or Florida plus 17?
Northwestern
plus 20. Me too. I can't believe it.
I mean, I whatever Alabama's team total is, it's probably not going to be high enough.
Okay, well, here you go. Here you go. This is live Bear math. Over under 74.5. Bama's minus 17.
Yeah, so you're looking at like a 45-27 type game, 45-28 type game is what they're.
God, I couldn't do that if you gave me 4 hours. anyway, I think that defense of Northwestern's is legit. And Indiana at times frustrated Ohio State. I know it was 35-7, but they still had some stops late when it was tight and they had the ball with a chance to tie. So that means the defense definitely did some things. It's just an interesting matchup to me because when you look at things to try and see Ohio, like I've just looked for ways to see Ohio State get challenged. And obviously they haven't, really, with the competition they've played. Penix did play for Indiana. We all know that. But I think Northwestern's defense can challenge Ohio State more than any other defense they faced this year. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I would even suggest looking at if you don't want to take Northwestern plus the 20.5 or 21, whatever it is, maybe consider taking Northwestern first half and maybe Ohio State second half, or waiting until halftime. Because remember, a couple of years ago, that was a one-possession game
In
the Big Ten Championship in the fourth quarter.
That was two years ago?
That was 2 years ago, right? 2018. And then Ohio State needing the style points, ran it up in the fourth quarter, scoring late and pulling away late. Last year, they trailed it. We were there in Indy last year. Wisconsin led at halftime, and Ohio State poured it on. In the second half, a lot of times when you're in the position of wanting to put up a big number and wanting to cement your place, all this talk about Ohio State only has six games and are they really that good? Maybe you press a little bit and maybe it doesn't come easily and maybe you struggle early and Northwestern is able to hang around and ugly the game up and shorten it and limit Ohio State possessions. Ultimately, Ohio State's talent will win out. But that's the way I'm approaching this game. Maybe you play Northwestern first half or sit and wait and then see what the halftime number is and take the Buckeyes in the second half.
I would think Pat Fitzgerald is going to do everything he can early on to take away the big play, make Ohio State move the change and move the ball. And I think
that's been their problem.
Yes.
They don't have a consistent running game this year.
When's the last time Ohio State played, Travis? The Michigan State game?
Michigan State. Yep.
Right?
I think they played once in the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
No.
Oh, all right.
But if I was Northwestern, I'd try to take some stuff what Indiana did with their blitzing.
Yeah, see, I don't know if Fitzgerald's going to do – I think he's going to keep the guys back and keep everybody in front of him. I don't think he wants to – because he knows he's more susceptible to that stuff because I don't think he has – as good as Northwestern's defense is, I don't know if he has the team speed as Indiana does in the secondary. So I could see eventually doing that, but because I was thinking, Bear, maybe if I had anything on the Northwestern first quarter. Maybe you get the ball, run a little trick play, go up 7-0.
I was gonna say maybe you get Gus Johnson going, and we're tied at 7 after the first quarter.
Onside kick to open the game.
I don't know about that one.
And Steve hits to the window.
I think that's going to be interesting. And there's, like you said, Bear, there's a lot going on. A&M with kind of a weird situation playing at noon, Northwestern playing at noon, and the Big 12 game at noon. As you go down, Coastal, I believe 3:30, right?
Yep.
3:30, hosting Louisiana. I thought it was unbelievable that Coach Chadwell, right after the win against BYU, was complaining that he had to play and they didn't take away his game against Troy, who was in the ultimate letdown spot last week and almost blew that. And Louisiana's sitting at home. This was an awesome game the last time they played. Louisiana's kind of been up and down too. You know, they fall off the national radar because they lose to Coastal. Everybody loves Coastal. Obviously, Coastal does their thing, goes undefeated. Louisiana is still sitting there with one win. Now they're plus 3.5. They're on the teal. Coastal, after the letdown, what do you make of the shots?
I like the shots here, laying the 3.5. And it was the ultimate letdown look ahead spot last week. And you know what they did, Steve? What did they do?
They won the game.
Thank you. You're a little slow, but ultimately you got the correct.
I was drinking my coffee.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did not have the.
Yes, they won.
They did win. I think with Maribel and McCall, the quarterback, I think they have a that offense is.
It's an absolute bastard to defend.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was thinking of a different
That's
word.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I was thinking of a different word, and you said the other one, which is like that is a hard offense. To defend, I mean, Louisiana, like it's like sometimes they look good, sometimes they sputter offensively. Like I don't know, I can see a lot of people gravitating towards Louisiana just because close game, first time, more than a field goal. But I mean, when is Coastal ever going to have the opportunity again to have an undefeated season? And I think there's a ton on the line. It's a confident bunch that just has fun together. So I'm gonna lay the points here with Coastal.
What is Louisiana's long snapper situation? Because if that is a case again, man,
that's a key. Got to be a key in the handicapping, right?
Man, I would think Coach Napier has that one figured out. Hopefully, I'm not sure how many long snappers you can find on campus at Louisiana.
All you really need to do is go. You need to go back to like. Backyard football where you like
stand to the side,
throw it back. Just do that. All else fails.
Good producing from our boy Travis just sent a note. Chadwell just signed 7-year deal to stay in. What's the fake name of it? Conley?
Yeah, Conway.
Conway. Myrtle Beach.
Also known as Myrtle Beach.
So that, yeah, that's it. Stay away from me. My man Levi Lewis, his good is really, really good. And the App State game was absolutely mesmerizing to me. But they've had some close calls since the loss to Coastal at UAB. They win 24-20. Texas State, they win by 10. Arkansas State, they win by 7. And then obviously the App State win holding on. Last time out, but that's a real interesting game. 3:30 ESPN. Bear is on the Shants, and then my favorite story in all the sport: the San Jose State Spartans going back home to Samoyed Stadium. As Bear said last week, he thought he was going to be able to be at the last game ever there, but now it's been the home away from home for the Spartans, and interesting matchup. I'm trying to remember what the line was before this game got canceled when they were supposed to play on the blue a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was double digits.
I was going to say it was. I think it was.
I thought it was like 11.5. And now it's Boise minus 6.5 over under 56 at Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas. You on a little Sparty?
Damn right I am. Absolutely.
Love it.
Another dream type season. I mean, they're not getting any respect in terms of the odds makers. It's not like this game is on the blue turf, and it's not like this is a like a Jared Zabransky, Kellen Moore type Boise team. They're good, but I don't think they're that level. I just like the way San Jose State has just gotten the most out of this team. Brent Brennan's done an unbelievable job. We'll see if we're able to keep him from going to Tucson or not. I mean, they showed a lot last week. That they had every reason to lose that game to Nevada. Everything kind of was stacked against them, and they came back and they ran hard and just dominated that second half. So that, it was an impressive effort. And again, I just like these teams that just feed off each other and believe and just look like they love each other.
Yep.
They play hard for each other. And it's very easy for me to root for. And not only will I be rooting for San Jose State, I will take them plus the 6.5.
Okay. It's funny. Boise in that big spot, that was November 6th at home against BYU when they got rolled. And obviously they had the quarterback and roster situation, but they've been affected by COVID a ton.
Yeah.
Just looking at they go to Hawaii, in which the game was featured in Bad Beats, win 40-32. That was on November 21st. The 28th canceled against San Jose State. The 4th canceled at UNLV, and then I can't believe – I didn't even know this game was played last week. At Wyoming, they go and win 17-9.
You didn't see the weather? Oh, it was
that
beautiful.
Totally went under my watch. So fired up for San Jose State, an opportunity they have. Like I said, it's been an unbelievable thing what they've done. There's articles all over about them going up to Humboldt State in the preseason, doing camp there because of what's happened in Santa Clara County. It's really good stuff. All right. I'm going to take – two games that are being played that don't mean anything. I'm going to take Wisconsin and Utah in a teaser. They're both given double digits. I want to get that down. It's just what I like. So I am also going to throw in my Irish plus 10.5 because we have to.
Money line again or no?
We'll sprinkle a little, but the official pick, you know, that everybody wants to jump on. We're gonna take the 10.5.
That Utah pick could be something that I look at as we get closer to the weekend as well, because Wazoo stinks.
You know what? They were an example last week of a game getting here on Saturday, and that game getting moved to Saturday, and everybody talking up Colorado, and I'm just like, here we are again.
Yep,
Pac-12 team. Yep. On a pedestal, in a big spot, you know what happens. You know why? Because the conference is it's so deep that you just never know who you're going to get an effort from. And the Utes showed that. Whittingham obviously doing his thing. His team's improving nonstop, as they always do as the season goes on, until they play in a Pac-12 title game with a chance to go to the playoff. Anything else? How about the Illini plus 15 at Happy Valley?
ILL.
Tulsa.
I got no interest in that game. Maybe under. I don't think Tulsa can be able to score very many points in that game.
How about the last game of the season? Defense. Last game of the season, Arizona State at Corvallis.
It's an appropriate final game.
It is. It really is. I've watched every Oregon State home game this year, no doubt. Ole Miss minus 2 against LSU.
Those two SEC games there, Ole Miss, LSU, and Missouri, Mississippi State, I don't think, unless you've got a degree in psychology, I wouldn't want to get involved early in those pre-kick. But I think you see a couple of drives, and you probably would get a sense as to whether
Mississippi Who's invested.
State, yeah, I mean, I thought Mississippi State would be invested last week, but their offense was atrocious, and yeah. Auburn got the two touchdown win in Gus Malzahn's final game. And so watch a couple of drives and see if Mississippi State can figure something out. Because that offense looked atrocious last week. And then for the first time all year last week, we saw like the angry, motivated, cohesive LSU team. Like you got all the guys who worried about transferring, opting out, leaving, all gone, not there, and they played well last week. They gave up a ton of yards,
Yeah.
But they won.
They won the game, Bear.
And now it's a go one of two ways. I don't know where it's going to go. It's either going to go, okay, we proved our point last week. Now we don't care. Proved our point last week and we're good. And we're going to check back out again. Or it's like, okay, you know, we proved our point last week. And now we're going to end the regular season on a high note with another solid performance. So I don't know what way it's going to go. I would wait till an in-game opportunity to play either of those two games.
All right. I got nothing on an SEC game.
Alabama team total over, like I said before.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
Alabama money line and the parlay.
Okay. We told you at the beginning of the Pac-12 season, we would get you season previews for every team. And then the people that did the season previews for the two teams that we'll be playing in the Pac-12 title game would join us. We have those two. First up, Nathan Ackerman, USC, Daily Trojan, associate manager and the editor of sports there. Nathan, welcome in.
Thanks so much for having me on. I'm fired up to be on here. You know, I remember on the original podcast, I remember hearing one of us was going to get grilled with questions before the Pac-12 championship game. So I'm ready for whatever you guys throw my way.
All right. Has anyone come up to you since you were on the podcast at the beginning of the season and said, great job on Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast?
No, not me. It's probably because I didn't do a good enough job. I'm sure they were all listening, but I must have not lived up to expectations.
We're still trying to get out big on the West Coast, so that, and we're not getting there yet. We're East Coast bias on here.
Pac-12 football has the same problem out here. I think the conference itself is trying to get big, so nothing personal.
Did you ask Coach Helton after the game on Saturday why he did not opt to kick the field goal, knowing that I gave out UCLA plus a 3.5 on the podcast? It could have made the podcast look better. Did you ask him?
Yeah. So I actually liked the decision to go for the touchdown there as much as it might have hurt your betting line, but I didn't want that game coming down to a perfect snap, a perfect hold, a perfect kick. It was going to be a chip shot, so it was probably going to be fine, but I don't know, with this offense you got to go for the touchdown there. So sorry about that, but no, I actually supported that call personally.
In all seriousness, what's been the big – I mean, you're covering a team. You've been looking forward to doing this your whole time at USC. And, you can't go to practice every day. You're doing Zoom calls with coaches, hopefully, you know, if everything works out. Like, that's the best-case scenario. What's the toughest thing you've come across in trying to cover a team and sitting in your dorm room?
The first game I was able to go to was the Utah game in week 4. And it was a really weird experience because the stadium's empty, right? You have like the pumped crowd noise and it just didn't feel like it normally does. I mean, the Coliseum has had trouble filling seats in years past, but still there's normally, you know, 50, 60,000 fans there. And the one thing I noticed in week 4 was the energy coming from the sidelines. I mean, you could hear both teams. Well, it was pretty much just USC in that game. And then I was at the Washington State game and it was especially just the Trojans in that game too. Mm-hmm. You could hear USC's bench pretty much the whole game. They were being loud, they were rambunctious, they were hyped up, all that fun stuff. So that I'd say is probably the biggest thing that you don't quite get when you're, as you said, in your dorm room. But once you're at the stadium, you're like, whoa, like this is a pretty intense atmosphere, even though there are no fans there. So that was one of my main takeaways from those two games, and it was things that I just wasn't able to notice covering the other three.
What has kind of been the reaction out there within the team, the fan base? I mean, with so much, no Rose Bowl on the line because it's a semifinal for the playoff, and
which is ridiculous.
You're five and oh, and you're not really in the playoff mix. Like, is there like a disappointment, like, or an anger, like, why aren't we being talked about for the playoff? Or is it just kind of an acceptance? Yeah, we're just happy to be undefeated, and if we win the Pac-12, we're just happy to be playing to begin with.
So as far as the playoff goes, it's kind of hard to tell me they're fully out of the playoff. I can throw out all the crazy hypotheticals that won't happen. But basically in the USC sphere, it's sort of been the team hasn't looked as great as they were going to look, or as, you know, many people thought that they might, Yeah, they are 5-0, but the way that they've done that has been kind of rocky. I mean, they beat Arizona State by 1, they beat Arizona by 4, and they beat UCLA by 5. So it isn't really like USC fans or USC media is really saying, you know, why aren't we being talked about with Ohio State? I remember on the college football show last night, you know, they did this whole segment on USC versus Ohio State. And I was kind of sitting there like, nobody's arguing that USC is better than Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's just dominated everybody, and USC has simply not done that. It's hard to argue that they're one of the four best teams right now. So the way that it's kind of being handled out here is like, the ceiling was only so high for this season. And given that you're only playing, you know, it was supposed to be 7 games, but now it's going to end up being 6. The playoff was always kind of, I don't know, a stretch, I guess. So it is disappointing also that the Rose Bowl is a playoff game this year. I think they need to do away with that. But, you know, there's always the Fire Helton people. Those are going to be there no matter what. And every time, you know, there's like not even just a bad game, there's like a bad quarter or a bad half, it's like Fire Helton. But,
well, that's the, you know, it's funny because I know people who are in that camp. It's like they're USC alums, and they're like torn whether you root for your team or you think you're going to get Urban Meyer or you want them to lose. It's like I could never, unless it's the New York Jets and I'm a Jets fan, I root against the Jets because I want them to go home with 16 because they deserve to go home with 16. But I could never like root against Miami to actively lose a game. Like, it's still college kids, you want to see them do well.
Yeah, that to me is one of the things that just doesn't make any sense. And I hear people saying, you know, every Clay Helton win is a win for every other Pac-12 team. It's like, okay, what if those Clay Helton wins get you to a Pac-12 championship? Like, now what? Oh, too late. You know, so there are some people that are like, oh, I just want them to lose, especially this year when it's, you know, people want to argue about whether this season really means anything. There are always the people that are going to say, just use this as an opportunity to get Helton out of there.
A couple before we get a game prediction. Is it true you went to USC because you didn't get in the UCLA?
Okay, so I didn't get into UCLA. This is a fact. I actually got waitlisted. But no, I say if it came down to those two schools, I really like USC. So I'm
all right.
Not going to answer truth. That question.
All right, Nathan, before we let you go, give us the score to Pac-12 title game.
USC 38, Oregon 24.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you helping us out. Good luck.
Thanks
whatever
for having me on. Thanks you for having it. Me on. Appreciate it.
DraftKings has given new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app now and enter code Steve at the sign up. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, for the Oregon side of things, we bring in Shane Hoffman, covers the Ducks for Daily Emerald in Eugene. Shane, I will start by saying I thought the Pac-12's best chance at a playoff was to have Oregon and USC meet in the conference championship game. And now they are, but I can't believe how we are here. Is Oregon's season a success if they win this game?
That's a tough one because I think, you know, I agree that I would say like the only chance you come into the season, it's unlikely that a Pac-12 team even makes it into the playoff, obviously. And that it had to be kind of like an undefeated Oregon versus undefeated USC. And USC has kind of scraped out an undefeated season. Oregon's had a pretty disappointing year. Now they're super young. So I don't know if you can look at it as necessarily a failure, but even if they win this game, I think they still fall a little bit short of maybe expectations.
You're covering the team. You're in your dorm room. You can't go to practice every day.
What's it like trying to cover the team with like, you know, how's coach, what I asked you this way. What's Coach Cristobal like on a Zoom call interviewing him?
Coach Cristobal is very professional. Very stark difference from a lot of the other Pac-12 coaches and Coach Harbaugh. Obviously, I'm from Ann Arbor, so I know a lot of Michigan Wolverines kind of fans have some quips about him. He's very professional, very straightforward, but he doesn't give you too much. You know, he gives you a lot of the cliche kind of answers. We're taking it one day at a time. We're confident this and that. So it's been tough. It's been a lot of doing kind of undercover digging and finding details and other sources for stories and stuff like that. So it's been a big adjustment for me and my staff for sure.
Do you have any details that he'll be coaching Oregon next year?
I don't. He's okay. Been pretty closed off about that. He kind of mentioned the Auburn rumor, but I think he's like he said, he's working on a contract extension, and that got shut down when the pandemic started, and they're kind of working on it again, him and Rob Mullins. We'll see if it gets done. I tend to think it will, but I don't have any inside information.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there was a chance there for a minute that Joe Moorhead was in the mix for that Kentucky offensive coordinator job too. So I know that coaching staff out there was potentially going to get raided.
I know Joe Salvea also has been looking at the Arizona head coach job that just opened up. So someone's probably going to leave, but we'll see.
If you ever want to go watch a player of a tape of a player that was a complete animal on the field, Joe Salvea, I played against. Oh my Lord, that man was monstrous, a war dog. Guy. Oh man, I still don't think he's ever put on a pair of long sleeves on a shirt. But you said you live in Ann Arbor. You grew up in Ann Arbor. Is it true you went to Oregon because you couldn't get into Michigan?
I actually didn't apply to Michigan. I didn't apply anywhere in the state. I wanted to get out of Michigan. Kind of explore, okay. And the West Coast was kind of the first place I looked for that.
Where else did you apply out there?
I applied to San Francisco, Oregon, and then I actually applied to kind of a variety of schools, just journalism schools, Syracuse, Butler, kind of like that. But Oregon, once I visited the University of Oregon, I was pretty sold. It kind of had a nice mix of what I was looking for.
Hey, that's a funny thing. People always ask me, like, what for traveling all over the country on game day, like, what's like my favorite place to go to, like. And I tell Oregon's the first word out of my mouth because it's just the whole vibe out there. Like you said, it's early in the morning. There's certain things in the air. Passionate fan base. And gosh, I can remember the first time we went for the UCLA game. I guess it would have been 1999, maybe, with Joey Harrington, like that first time around. And you get to Autzen, like, oh, you hear about Autzen Stadium, this home field advantage. And you get there, and it's kind of like this little stadium and like a bowl and a hole in the ground. And then it fills up and the noise is just, oh, and yeah, but I'm with you. I think any people always say, like, where should I take a trip to? And I'm like, if you can get to Autzen Stadium, you can get to Eugene to see a game. I certainly don't think you'll be disappointed. So you made a good choice.
It's special. Yeah. I didn't really realize coming in. Obviously I've been to the Big House for a few games, and that's such a different kind of open, very flat atmosphere, and it doesn't get nearly as loud in there as you think.
Doesn't even compare to it.
Yeah, no.
Did you go to the Big House for the 2007 Michigan Oregon game?
No, I did not. I was not a huge fan when I was younger.
Okay,
tell us how Oregon wins this game and wins the Pac-12 championship.
They got to just put together a complete game. That's been the story of the season. Is this team is so young, and you think, okay, well, the defense was the strength last year, surprisingly, even though you had Justin Herbert there. They bring in Joe Moorhead, though, and the play calling just like that completely switches. It's way more creative. And first-year starter Tyler Shuck had a pretty good year. He's had some ups and downs, and he's had some kind of mishaps in big moments. But the offense has ended up carrying this team. And so you look through the first three games, they didn't dominate, but they won pretty handily because their offense was so explosive. You really realize how bad the defense had been when you see that they lose 41-38 down in Corvallis. You expect to win when you score 38 points most of the time. Then all of a sudden you play Cal, and Oregon can only score 17 points. The defense stands up, but they allow 21. So they just have to put together a complete game, and I think they can. But, you know, USC is also the best team that they've played.
Okay, you're from Ann Arbor. Favorite Zingerman sandwich?
I actually just got Zingerman's the other day. Dave's open room. I'm not a big fan. Well, let me preface that. I'm not a big fan of Zingerman's. I think it's pretty overrated. I did get one the other day, though.
Okay. It's way more like trendy. It's more like it's like a touristy type thing, and then as opposed to like the legit thing.
Yeah, it's touristy. It's way overpriced, but my friend convinced me the other day. I said, all right, we got one. Right. Dave's open road. It's a chicken. It's got bacon, some ranch, some lettuce. It's real good.
Okay. So where should I go in like 2027 when game day finally gets back to Ann Arbor?
Oh man, it depends on what kind of food you're looking for. Ann Arbor is a great restaurant city.
It is.
I like Asian food a lot, and there's a ton of spots for that. But if you're looking, what are you looking for?
Well, no, I think if I want to get a Zingerman's, a sandwich type place, like
sandwich type place.
Yeah.
I mean, Zingerman's is definitely a go-to. There's a place downtown in Ann Arbor, I think it's still open, called Amir's, A-M-E-R-S. Pretty good spot. Yeah, I'm not a huge sandwich guy, but one of those two places probably. You know, Zingerman's is it's pricey, but it is pretty good. They got great ingredients. So
it's funny because, like, it's the same thing with, like, in, like, Pittsburgh. My wife's from Pittsburgh, and, like, everyone loves Primanti Brothers, and she's like, no, I don't go to Primanti Brothers. Go to Pepe's. It's much better, and it is. So I'm just looking for a good, authentic Ann Arbor experience from.
Yeah, there you go.
Shane, I appreciate you helping us out from the beginning of the season to now. We told you would come on if the Ducks got here. Somehow, some way, they did get in the Pac-12 title game. So I want to thank you again. If you need anything from us, we're always here. And good luck with everything down the road, okay?
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
I want to thank everybody. We will be back. Check our Twitter feeds for the bowl schedule. Obviously, these games are going to be played, and some can be played. So we'll get you bowl picks out there for everything as far as most wonderful time of the year. With that being said, I want to thank our Pac-12 insiders for joining us, and everybody enjoy Championship Saturday, starting with games Friday night. Bear, take us away.
Unless you bet, the more you lose when you win.